I think it's really important to look at the organization as a whole. Look at the talent that you have within. See what you can do with that talent. Find the strengths of your individuals that are with you and have spent some, have years invested with your organization, and how you could rearrange just to, you know, make things a little bit more seamless.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. We are in our first episode of a several-part series here. We have taken the show on the road to Arkansas. Really, really excited to be here. And our first stop is here in Little Rock, Arkansas. And we are with our friend Gina Gimberling. She's the president and CEO of Little Rock. And we are really, really excited to chat with you, Gina. Thanks for joining us.
Well, we're glad you're here and you made the capital city your first stop in Arkansas.
You know, we did. And I tell you, we just got done with an amazing lunch at the Clinton Presidential Library at, is it Table 42? Is that the name of the restaurant?
Correct. Table 42.
Oh, man. And between the food and the dessert, I don't know how we're still eyes open having this conversation.
I agree. Those three desserts, you know, you have to test each one for sure.
Well, we're already getting a glimpse of the Southern hospitality here in Arkansas, and really appreciate you hosting us.
Well, thanks again for coming.
Absolutely. Well, Let's dive in. We've got a couple of questions we like to ask everybody at the beginning of each show. I know you've been kind of struggling to come up with an answer for this one, but I'm gonna ask you anyway. I want to kind of see what you came up with. What is your dream destination, Gina? If you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Dream destination. Well, that's kind of tough for me. I'm kind of one of those workaholics. I'm one that when you take a vacation, it's harder to get back into the swing of things. So I take very few vacations. But for me, it's just put me on a beach. Sit me on a beach with a cold, frosty beverage in my hand, and all is good.
So important question on that then. On this beach, do we have phone service or do we not have phone service?
No, we do have phone service. Okay. We have to have phone service.
So you want a beach, but you want a beach that you can still be reached at.
Exactly, with good internet as well, for sure.
I like it. Okay, so a beach anywhere. And why the beach? Why is that a place where you feel drawn to?
I think just being from the Midwest all of my life and born and raised in the Midwest, anytime we can see the ocean, it's always a little special, and it has to be that ocean breeze for sure.
I like it. Okay. What about a trip that you went on, whether it was as a kid or as an adult, that really stands out as kind of a core memory for you?
You know, I'd have to say growing up, our family had a lake house in southeast Missouri, Lake Wapapello. Had been in the family for about 70 years now. We spent our summers growing up there at the lake and at the lake house. Friends and family would come in and visit us throughout the summer. And our family still meets there currently on a regular basis. So it's a special place since I was, for as long as I can remember.
So what makes it special? I know it's been in the family for 70 years. What activities did you do there? What memories did you make there?
You know, we were out water skiing and tubing every day. I learned how to ski when I was 5. I was slaloming by the age of 9 or 10. So I cannot say I've skied for several years now, but I'm past that time in my life. But we did all the water recreation all summer long.
Well, I can tell that it's a special place for you because I'm foreshadowing a little bit here, but you shared with us that played a part in you choosing Little Rock as a place to land. So maybe what I'd love to have you do is give us a little bit of your background and what led you here to Little Rock.
Okay, sure. Well, this might take a while. I've spent many years in the hospitality industry. I started, it's been about 3 or 4 years in the hotel industry and sales. Went to work for the Springfield, Illinois Convention and Visitors Bureau late of 1993 as an entry-level salesperson, did a lot of their lead generation. Worked my way up through that organization, spent some time as senior sales, director of sales, spent some time in the servicing realm, and also over both the sales and marketing department. I was there for 24 years. My last, I'd say 4 years, I believe, I did leave there. I was the leader of that organization as director of the Springfield, Illinois Convention and Visitors Bureau.
So really saw every job and role within the organization by the time you left, didn't you?
Exactly. And knew, you know, where all the bodies were buried, per se. So making a jump at that point in my career after 24 years at one organization, it was, you know, a lot of thought went within that decision to make a move. at that point in my career, I just thought, you know, if you're ever going to do it, now's the time to do it. Saw the posting here in Little Rock for the Vice President of Sales and Services. So I came on board in January of 18 in that role. We had about 15 members of that department. And just to put some comparisons to it, my budget here in just the sales role at the Little Rock Convention and Visitors Bureau was about the same, if not a little bit larger budget than the whole budget of my past destination.
So a little more flexibility in this role to be able to execute on some of the things that you want to, because there's obviously more budget to play with.
Correct. And then during COVID, we did a little bit of reorganization. And Gretchen Hall, who was our CEO at the time, she merged the sales and marketing divisions. And since I had the background of both, I was promoted to senior VP of both sales and marketing. And then, as most people in our industry know, it was in late January that Gretchen sprung the news on us that she was moving on to Destinations International. And at that time, I assumed the role of president and CEO here at the Little Rock Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yeah, I'm excited to reconnect with Gretchen because she was one of our early interviews here on the show, and really enjoyed getting to know her and excited for her to be at DI. And the good news is that paved the way for you to kind of take the next step and be the CEO of this organization. So kind of a win-win for the two of you.
Well, I guess I still don't know if it was a win on my side, but in the long run, I guess it is. Part of my reasoning and decision process of moving to Little Rock was working for Gretchen as CEO, just going through the interview process with her and learning more about the organization, the funding sources here, just everything that the Little Rock Convention and Visitors Bureau has to offer that's a little bit different than most standard convention and visitors bureaus.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into that today because I know there is a lot of uniqueness here in the way that the Little Rock CVB is run and funded and operated. And so it'll be an interesting discussion. Before we do, a good friend of mine actually works at Springfield, Illinois, and he's a shared acquaintance of the two of us. And I've got to make, I know Scott listens to the show, so I've got to tell him hi. And I know that you guys were able to work together for a while. What was it like to work with Scott?
You know, we worked together. He was part of our hotel community early on in my days at the Springfield Convention and Visitors Bureau. And then he worked for Illinois Hotel Lodging Association. So we always had a close partnership, always respected Scott and had a good relationship with him, for sure.
Great. Well, Scott, if you're listening, it's good to hear your connections out there on the show. But coming back to this, Gina, one of the things that I would like to do before we maybe dive into the unique things you're working on here in Little Rock, give us the overview of Little Rock as a destination. What makes it special? What makes it unique? And obviously, you get a lot of visitors here. Tourism is really important to this community. Why do people choose Little Rock as their destination?
You know, you can tell just with walking in our downtown area that the city itself cares a lot about tourism. Just in the infrastructure that's along our riverfront, from our Statehouse Convention Center that's attached to the Marriott Hotel, and then corners on one end, and then we have the Robinson Center, which is our performing arts center with meeting space and a conference center on the back, which is connected to our DoubleTree Hotel. Just that infrastructure alone, and it is right along the Riverfront Park, which is a scenic right along the Arkansas River. And that Markham Street takes you right into President Clinton Avenue that takes you through our entertainment district and straight down into the Clinton Library.
Great. And so as a destination, when people decide, you know, you're deciding between Little Rock and several other probably, I don't know, middle of the country destinations that you would go to, or Midwest destinations, what is it that you feel like is the difference maker for people to choose Little Rock?
You know, Little Rock, sitting right on the Arkansas River, we have a great downtown area, and everything is just walkable. From our entertainment district to our sights and attractions, the President Clinton Library is also right in our downtown area. But one thing that really makes us, I think, unique is our cycling and our outdoor recreation is right within our urban core. You can jump on the Arkansas Trail right in our downtown area that will take you right out to the beautiful parts of Little Rock, and you're right still in the middle of the city.
Yeah. And I saw that this morning. So for those listening, we actually had the opportunity to take a little tour of Little Rock today and some of the unique parts of Little Rock. And, you know, that same trail that you're talking about goes all the way out to a park we drove out to just outside of town. And it's amazing that this interconnected trail system is there and gives so much flexibility for travelers if they want to walk, if they want to bike, and not have to worry about safety in a lot of the trails that they're on because cars are nowhere near them in some of these cases.
Correct. Just in our downtown area alone, we have three bridges that are pedestrian bridges. And then I believe this morning you were fortunate to go out to our Big Dam Bridge, which is over a mile long. It's the largest, longest pedestrian bridge in the United States.
Amazing. Yeah, so the bridge is actually, as Colby and I, and Colby's my business partner for those listening, he goes on a lot of these trips with me, as we drove through, the bridges were some of the most fascinating parts for us. They are very ornate, very unique, and also very different from each other. Like each bridge is like a fingerprint almost, where it's really unique. And I thought that was an interesting asset from a tourism perspective.
Correct. And another note that, you know, here in at the Little Rock Convention and Visitors Bureaus, we wear several hats in the community, and one of those is the lighting of the bridges. So we are in control of the colors that are on the bridge. So Doc, our senior engineer here at the Little Rock Convention and Visitors Bureau, you say, Doc, I want those bridges green or your favorite color, and he can change them just from his iPhone.
So Bliss, who took us around this morning, shared an amazing story that just before the Russian invasion of Ukraine, she had some members of or dignitaries or something like that from Ukraine here visiting. And you guys actually had them in a meeting room and lit up the bridge with the Ukrainian flag colors. And she said she got an emotional reaction even from some of the attendees with their patriotism and pride from their country to see that lit up on the bridge in Arkansas. What an amazing opportunity for you guys to build one more touch point, one more connection with whatever group or travelers coming in to light up a bridge like that. That is such a unique asset.
You know, it is. In our national regional conventions, when we let them, you know, pick their color or their association's colors and their branding, and we can change those downtown bridges, really makes those conventions and those convention attendees feel special for sure.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what makes your organization here in Little Rock really unique. And one of the things that you told me is how you operate so many of the assets, and you don't outsource that to management groups or other organizations, but your convention center and the amphitheater that you have here and so much more, you guys operate on your own. Tell me, first of all, how did that come about? And then, you know, what's it like to have 100 employees and to operate all of these venues?
You know, I'll go back to, I think I was 6 months into my position here in Little Rock. And I remember Gretchen Hall at the time, she, you know, wanted to know how I was feeling about things and sent over a list of questions. And one of them was, what's your biggest surprise about the Little Rock Convention and Visitors Bureau? And my response back to her is, I had no idea when I came here what a powerhouse our organization really is in the destination. And I go back to that every day. We do manage the State House Convention Center, which is about 220,000 square feet of space. We also manage the Robinson Center, which is a performing arts center. That's where our Broadway shows and most of our that type of entertainment take place in downtown Little Rock, as well as it has a conference center on the back. We also manage the amphitheater, which is our outdoor theater that overlooks the Arkansas River, as well as Ottenheimer Hall, which is a food hall in the Little Rock, in the River Market District. In addition to that, we also manage several of the parking garages in the downtown area. We do that, several of those, we do that for the city of Little Rock. That is also, you know, it's all those little pieces that putting together a convention package. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, I grew up in the sales world, so conventions and meetings and the sales side is always near and dear to my heart. But it really helps putting those packages together that we do have control over all those facilities.
Yeah, that was one of the fascinating things when you told me that you operate all of these different assets is you are now controlling so much more of the visitor experience. And anytime you hand off from one organization to another, you always have that fear of like, are they going to deliver on our expectations? And I think a lot of destinations do a great job of training their hospitality staff and making sure that the experience is as seamless as possible. But I think it's unavoidable that you're going to have some difficulties in those handoffs. So with you being able to operate the entire experience chain for these events that come in, I think it is something that's kind of a differentiator, and it probably makes a big difference in the visitor experience. Would you agree with that?
Most definitely. In our convention sales and service team, they are based here at our Cromwell building, which is our administrative building here in downtown Little Rock. But also our event operations team is on the same floor. So they are able to work. They work hand in hand on all of our conventions and meetings coming in that are using our any of our facilities and our hotels.
Great. Now, it is wonderful in theory, the idea of being able to control that and manage that all on your own or as an organization. But of course, everybody in the country right now is struggling with the labor market, and it's no different for you. It's been difficult for you guys to find employees. Tell me how you as an organization are combating that issue of the labor market and the difficulty to find good people to be within your organization.
Of course, during COVID, unfortunately, many of our frontline service workers were the ones that were the first to be furloughed during the COVID and during pandemic. Obviously, because our buildings were dark, they were empty. So that has been one of our biggest difficulties coming back. And, you know, I always say tourism came back with a vengeance. Our buildings have been busy all year and very busy, and our staff, our hearts and our thank yous go out to all of them for, you know, keeping the buildings running on less people as we are still trying to recoup all of those employees and bring employees back and get us to the staffing levels we need to. Earlier this year, about a couple months ago, we did create a new position under our marketing team. It is a director of community engagement. Part of that position will be working with workforce and helping us identify different workforce and other areas where we can attract more potential employees.
Yeah, you told me about a study that you had done that's also really helped. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that study and what the outcome of it was?
Sure. One thing that will kind of set the tone and let you know a little bit more about the Little Rock Convention and Visitors Bureau is about every 3 to 5 years, we go through a full salary compensation study. And it's not just our team calling around other convention and visitors bureaus to find out, you know, their salary ranges and that sort of thing. We actually hire an outside firm. They look at every position in our organization. They make sure the grade class codes are correct. They make sure they're exempt versus non-exempt and where they should fit, as well as looking at those salary levels and make sure we're competitive in the marketplace to bring employees and that we are offering the benefits that we should to attract the type of employees we want to represent Little Rock. So we just completed that study. We announced it to our employees last week. And it's a tough exercise because you have to look at the whole organization. You look at the actual positions, not the individuals. So it was interesting to go through. This was my first year going through that exercise. In the long run, I do think it makes us a stronger organization and is a big benefit to our employees.
So it's really interesting to me what you did. And I want to talk about the nuts and bolts of it so that those listening might be able to try to duplicate that effort in their destination. And so first of all, you had to go out to RFP to find a partner to help you do this study. Is that right?
Correct. We went out to RFP middle of last year. We did start this process probably fall of last year. It's taken a while. It's a lengthy process, but I think in the long run, it is well worth our time and energies for sure. The third party, they looked at everything. And as far as each, as I mentioned earlier, each individual position, some they look at it from a local or a regional area. When it comes to a lot of our sales and marketing folks or our executive team, they actually rely a lot on Destinations International and the International Association of Venue Managers for their compensation studies and what is happening around the whole United States to make sure we are attracting quality employees for our organization.
So at the end of that process, this third-party organization that you hired, they basically gave you, for these positions, this is what the salary should be if you want to be competitive as an organization.
Exactly.
So once they did that, Did you then take that study and say, okay, we're just going to follow these findings, or did you have any rebuttal, or was it like meet in the middle? And then how did you actually roll that out and communicate it to your team?
You know, we did go back and forth a little bit on some different positions. Possibly the job description did not portray everything that that position did. So there were some we had to go back and forth on, as well as positions non-exempt versus exempt. The process was several months, but we did complete it. We rolled it out to our team last week. Everyone received, anyone that had any change in pay grade, change in their salary structure, they all received a letter from our organization.
That's great. And so most employees were pretty happy with this study.
I think so. Unfortunately, you cannot make everyone happy, unfortunately.
Sure.
But for the most part, a lot of it touched our people working down in our buildings, our frontline service staff, knowing that Amazon locally is, you know, hiring anywhere from $17 to $20 an hour. We knew we needed to be more competitive in that market, in that area. And I think we were able to, with our other benefit packages and everything else that we offer, I think we offer a nice place to work for sure.
Any advice for other destinations thinking about doing something like this?
I'd be welcome to take any calls. Feel free to contact me directly. We will, you know, I will even share with you our RFP as well as our proposal and why we ended up choosing the company we chose.
Great.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit. One of the things that's happening in the industry right now is there's so much movement of people going from one destination to another, from one job to another. And most of the times when they're making these changes, they have big shoes to fill. And for you, when you came in and you know, Gretchen decided to go to Destinations International, you then, of course, had some big shoes to fill. So what advice would you give to people that have made a move and are trying to make their way in a new role and make sure that they are learning from what was done before, but also balance that with what you see that needs to be done and make sure that you're as good as possible in your new role?
You know, Gretchen's announcement to us in late January was definitely a surprise to all. And when I came to Little Rock, this is not what I expected, nor was it what I was seeking to do, quite honestly. But her and I have a great relationship. And going through, we had a couple months during the transition time. I'm fortunate that she still is here in Little Rock and we remain dear friends and are able to. She's always here for me to bounce things off of. But, you know, looking back to our transition months, she was made it well known to me that, you know, this is your ship now. You run this ship the way you see fit. You know, there's going to be some things that you'll want to change. And she said, it's not going to hurt my feelings. It's always good to try new things and to look at things in a different way. So the hardest thing for me, I believe, in this position right now is just getting to know a lot of the players locally. Gretchen was, you know, from Little Rock. She was born and bred here. So she knew a lot of the players and spent 11 years in that CEO role here after she had been with the organization 10 years prior to that. So that is probably my biggest challenge at this point.
Yeah. So then advice for people that are kind of going through the same thing, what would you suggest as far as like approach maybe before you enter the role and from a research perspective or whatever, and then how to balance the, you know, the perception of the past with the view of the future?
You know, I will go back to when I came on board as the VP of Sales and Service. I think it's really important to look at the organization as a whole, look at the talent that you have within, see what you can do with that talent, find the strengths of your individuals that are with you and have years invested with your organization and how you could rearrange just to, you know, make things a little bit more seamless. At the same time, I think it's important just to take your time, not rush into any decisions. And I've spent the last few months really reviewing different titles within the organization and how we can make things better.
I like it. So I'm going to shift gears again. I guess we'll do that a lot today. But Little Rock has such a unique name in my mind, and it provides the opportunity for some real recognizable marketing strategies and copy. And we're sitting here in this conference room and I'm seeing your marketing campaign all over the walls here. And I'm going to quote one of them here. If you're big on local art, you're big on Little Rock. And then another one says, if you're big on history, you're big on Little Rock, and it's got the picture of the Central High School that's such an icon in American history. And so you've got this campaign. If you're big on this, then you're big on Little Rock. Tell me about kind of the opportunities that come from having a name like Little Rock and allows you to kind of play off of that and have a clever campaign like this. What do you do to market Little Rock?
You know, this campaign, Big on Little Rock, actually was first launched in the 80s. It was not only an outward marketing campaign, but it was also a feel-good pride in the community amongst locals at that time. About 2 years ago, right before pre-pandemic, actually, I want to say it was about a week or two before the pandemic hit, that we did bring Big on Little Rock back after many discovery sessions and conversations with our local community, our advertising agencies. We felt there were legs there, and it was a good time to bring it back. We're going through a little bit of a transition with it right now. That'll be announced here in the next couple of weeks and showcased in the next couple of weeks, but we are definitely going to stay Big on Little Rock.
Nice. So it's interesting because I had asked you the question before of how do you know what to change? How do you know what not to change when you're coming into a new role? You obviously came in as this campaign had been prepared and developed, and you elected to stay with the Big on Little Rock campaign. I like that because it's not, oh, I just want to do my own thing or I want to have my own thing. I feel like you saw the assets that were valuable and continued with those assets. So tell me a little bit about, like, as you evaluated that campaign when you came in, what made you decide to say, yeah, let's continue with that and make it a key part of where we go from here?
Well, back to a couple years ago when we launched the campaign, I was part of that decision process, so I already had a little buy-in for sure. Big on Little Rock was my vote a couple years ago when we did make the switch from Life is Better with a Southern Accent. But I do believe in the consistency, and we had only a couple of years of Big on Little Rock that we had actually out in the market that I believe you need the consistency and the consistent messaging and branding.
Great. What do you feel like you're the most proud of the work that you've done here in your organization?
What I feel I'm most proud of is the sales and marketing efforts and a little bit more the focus that I bring with my sales and marketing background. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, we are a powerhouse in our destination, and those buildings we manage and operate, of course, are a huge piece of the puzzle, but also our sales and marketing focus and our sales and marketing efforts. And I believe what I can bring to the table is my background in the sales and marketing.
I like it. One of the things that Bliss mentioned to us today on our tour is that meetings are back with a vengeance, right? Like you're getting a lot of calls and bookings, but she said the distance between the booking and the actual event is much shorter. So people are booking pretty close to right before the event. And to me, that almost says, thank goodness we control the entire experience chain if people are asking us to plan these events in a very short period of time.
Exactly. And we work so closely with our Marriott Hotel that's connected with the State House Convention Center and our DoubleTree connected to the Robinson Center. We are all within, our staffs meet at least once or twice a week, just our internal teams together. So we are just one voice out there. And it makes it easier when these groups are booking such short term that we already have those communications put in place.
Great. Well, Gina, this has been amazing. And like I said, really appreciate your hospitality. Is there anything that I haven't asked you in this conversation that you think our listeners would benefit from?
You know, the one thing that surprised me when I came to Little Rock, and actually all of my friends from the Midwest, from the Illinois area, Chicago, Kansas City, when they've all come to visit, and at first they said, why Little Rock? And now that they've come to visit, they have grown fond of our city and our destination. We are more of a cosmopolitan city than many might think. We are a very artsy city. We do have the sculpture garden of dozens of sculptures right on our riverfront, as well as you'll see the art and sculptures and murals all sprinkled all around our destination. So I do believe that Little Rock has just so much more to offer than a lot of people think. So we invite everyone to come visit us here in Little Rock.
Okay, so come check it out. Come see the difference and maybe from what your perception has been of Little Rock before, because I personally can also say this city, and I've been here for a day. I'm going to be here for another day, but this city is already much more amazing than I anticipated. So thanks, Gina, for sharing a little bit about your experience here with Little Rock. If people want to learn more about you, about your destination, what's the best way for them to do so?
You know, our destination, of course, is our website, littlerock.com, and you can find me on our website and shoot me an email or give a call at any time.
Great. Thanks again for your time.
All right. Thanks so much.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, please don't forget to leave us a rating or a review. It really helps us to continue to bring you excellent guests like Gina. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.